Okay, please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, towards the end of the chapter. I'll read from chapter 9, verse 35, and we'll go into chapter 10, verse 7. And Lloyd, I'd like to ask you to just, if you could turn me down just a little bit. I like my voice, but not that much. So while you're turning there, I just want to give a quick announcement. The piano is officially open. If you have a gift or if maybe not a gift, if you just love to play piano and you love Jesus, you love worship, dozo, please come. And I think when Czech first played, I think it was his second Sunday, maybe. It wasn't that long when, the Spirit just said, hey, there's a piano. So if that's you, hear the word of the Lord. Come play. And help us to worship as well. We've got drummers, we've got violinists, clarinetists, vocalists. If you can play the cajones or the bass, or the spoons, whatever it is, do it to the glory of God, okay? All right, so let's read together Matthew chapter 9. It's also in your bulletin, but I like to reference before and after the context as well. So let me read verse 35 to 38, and please join me at verse 1 of chapter 10. In your bulletin there on the cover, it says 10. 10, Jesus called. That's actually verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1. So be careful about that. Okay, let me read Matthew 9, 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now please join me and read chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. The very words of our Lord. Amen. I have the privilege today of preaching to you Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. We are this year studying the scriptures that reference the kingdom of God. Last week I preached on Matthew chapter 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God. And I'm following Pastor Hiroshi, but I've overtaken him now. This morning Pastor Hiroshi preached Matthew chapter 6, 33. Next week he'll preach on Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, on the subject of being kingdom sent. Let me start with a brief story. There was a man who had been married, had a couple of kids, went through an ugly divorce, was in the middle ages of his life, but was in crisis because he did not know the meaning or purpose of his life. So he went to his professor, a man named Howard Thurman, who was lying in a hospital, sick in bed, looking for direction, some kind of answers to the meaning of his divorce, his kids, his work. And his old professor, dying in his hospital bed, looked him in the eye and said, "Look, every man, in order to be a man, must answer two questions. Number one, where am I going? And number two, who will come with me?" The most important thing is to not mix up the order. So just for the men in here, the young men, I want to pound this home. Do not get that out of order. Where am I going? And then, who's coming with me? Jesus, in this scripture, is saying, this is where you're going. I am the king. You are the subject of the king if you follow me. And you are going somewhere. I've sent you somewhere. And if you forget that, if you lose sight of that, if you don't understand that, you will be lost. You could be in the Philippines, in Japan, in the States, in Europe, wherever, doesn't matter. If you don't understand that you are being sent by Jesus Christ somewhere, you're lost. You're lost. And so that's the subject of being kingdom sent. Now, before you understand what it is that you're being sent to or how it is that you're being sent by God, you need to understand how he sends you, because you're going to go somewhere. But what we see in here is that before you go, you pray. But even before you pray, you have to understand. But even before you have to understand, you have to feel. So in order to understand where you're being sent or how it is you're being sent, you have to understand all, you got to get way back even further to what it is that makes you go. And so we're in chapter 9 of Matthew. The book of Matthew, as you for those of you who listen to me, you know, I like to go through the context a lot, so just bear with me for a minute. Matthew is all about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of heaven is all about the king, Jesus Christ. We have, in the very beginning, the ancestry of the king. We get through the genealogy. We have the anticipation of the king, of John the Baptist coming. We have the affirmations of the king, where the king goes through chapter 5 through 7 of giving us the teachings of the king. We have the attestations of the king, where from 7 through chapter 9, he's doing miracle after miracle after miracle, which attest to his affirmations, his teachings. And now, in chapter 10, we're going to see the associates of the king. We read their names, his 12 apostles. But between chapter 10 and chapter 9, the miracles and the apostles, we have this funky little transition where we're going to go from the miracles to his disciples. He's gone from a public ministry, healing everybody, touching everybody, teaching everybody, and then he's going to go into a private ministry of training and developing his disciples. But right there, we've read this very interesting section. You see, Jesus has it all planned out from the very beginning. And that's what Matthew is showing us. Now, for those of you who have been with us throughout the beginning of the year, this is review. We preached earlier on that Jesus had gone through villages and towns. And it says there in chapter 9, verse 35, we read, Jesus would go from town to village, teaching in synagogues in the area of Galilee. historians would estimate that at that time, the area of Galilee was populated by about 3 million people. Now, if you look at Hiroshima, that's 1 million. So times 3, that's the area of Galilee, about 3 million people. And it's said that there was about 200 towns and villages, some little hamlets along the harbors, some in the valleys of just crops and fields, and some maybe in the hillsides, and maybe the bigger cities along the coasts with bigger businesses and industries. But he was devoted to going to each and every place. That's what it says. That's Jesus, our King, going from one place to another. You see, there wasn't no radio, no TV, no internets, no Wi-Fi. They had sandals back in those days. So he would just walk, preaching and teaching. And what they had back in those days was places called the synagogue. Places like this. This is what this church is kind of modeled after. The synagogue where Jews, the people of God, would have a building. They would come and gather to worship and to learn. And you see, what would happen is they would gather, they would have a worship time, they would sing hymns, and then maybe one of the officials, a deacon or an elder, would come and read. He would open up one of the first five books. He would read from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy. He'd read a portion of that. Maybe another deacon or elder or official would come up, and he'd read a prophet, maybe Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, whoever. He'd read a portion of that. And so that was the tradition. And then after that, after the reading of the scripture, everybody would sit down, and then there would be one who would be qualified, maybe a Pharisee, a scribe, an educated man who's been trained, and he would explain in expository style, a didactic style, the meaning of what they had just read. And the focus of the synagogue was to teach, instruct. You know, synagogue, if you translated it into a Yiddish word, a Jewish term, it was called school. S-C-H-U-L. School. I don't know if that's where the English word comes from, but it's very similar, isn't it? Emphasizing that people came to the synagogue to learn, to study the Word of God, to be instructed. And so Jesus knew this system. He grew up in this system. Now here's an interesting thing. They had back in those days what was called the freedom of the synagogue. And the freedom of the synagogue meant a traveling teacher, a traveling preacher who was qualified in the scriptures, they could come to the synagogue and they would be given the freedom to explain or teach from what was read that day. So Jesus knew all about that and he took full advantage of it. He would go from town to city to little hamlet, and he would use the freedom of the synagogue to preach. Now, please bear with me. I'm getting to your neighborhood just a second. He'd come into the church. He'd hear the scriptures. And you know what he would do? He'd say this. He'd say something like this. You've heard it said that if you commit adultery, you're guilty. But I tell you, if you look at a woman with adultery in your heart, you're a sinner. You've heard it said, if you kill somebody, you deserve hell. But I'm telling you, you even be angry at a person, you're guilty. And he would go on like this. People teach you this, but I'm here to tell you it's like this. And in fact, what they've been teaching you has been completely wrong the whole time. And the people would just get angry. Could you imagine somebody just coming into church? You're coming in, you think you're doing okay. They open up the scriptures and they tell you, you know what the pastor has been teaching you? It's completely off. They were just getting furious with him. So what would they do? Well, you're wrong, Jesus. You, who are you to be telling us these things? So what did he do? Verse 36. He'd heal. He'd touch. He'd do miracles. And those miracles were to attest or to affirm the authority he had with the scriptures. It proved that he was God. And so now the people are like, okay, all right, I see that. I see you made the guy walk. You made the guy who was blind, he can now see. The one who couldn't speak, he can now talk. All right, maybe you are who you say you are. Some people would, and you read that. Like in John chapter 3, the Pharisee, Nicodemus, he would come to him. He'd say, yeah, Jesus, look, I understand. You, the miracles that you did affirm that you are who you say you are. And so we understand that. There were some people who would, yes, believe it because of his miracles. There were some who, you can read, if you have your own Bible or your own app open, you can read verse 34, Matthew chapter 9. Some said, no, it's not from God. The power is from hell. He's healing, and he's doing miracles because of Beelzebub, the devil. That's where he's getting. So some people would accept him, some would reject him. Now, I'm getting somewhere with this. So he'd go around teaching. He'd go around instructing. He'd go around healing and performing miracles. And he'd go around telling all of the shepherds, all of the pastors, all of the scribes, Pharisees, religious, you're wrong. You're hurting your people. You're not helping them. And he would get so many people coming to him with troubles, anxieties, problems, so many things. He'd look, it says right there, where does it say? I can't remember the verse. It was verse 38. Verse 36, excuse me. He saw the crowds, and what does it say? He had compassion on them. This is the heart of our message today. We're being sent by Jesus to preach, proclaim, and to heal. But where does that come from? It comes from Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. The prophet Ezekiel just slammed the leaders, the pastors, the priests of Israel, saying, you are not helping. You are hurting people. You're giving them Bible, 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 but you don't give them love, love, love. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I can speak the languages of angels, if I can give everything I have, but if I don't have love, I'm just a clashing cymbal. I've got nothing. That's what Jesus was saying here. He looked out, he saw people hurting, he saw people lost, people seeking God, and these pastors and these preachers, they didn't give him anything. They just gave them the meaning of the Hebrew. What is that? But Jesus was out. He wanted to give them love. So what did he do? He was touching people. That's so amazing. He didn't have to do that. He could have just said, okay, all the lepers over here, all the blind just right there, and we'll have the lame over here. Boom, boom, boom. Next, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He went from village to synagogue to town, and he was touching. Why? Because of love. He wanted to make contact. This is God. God, who is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. God is love. But it's not a concept. It's not something that's God, you put all that love, all that care, all that concern into one human body. That body is going to feel something. And it says that word compassion, it's the word for intestines, bowels. Do you ever feel something so full that it hurts you? Some of you feel it in your chest. You ever feel, nobody hits you in the chest. You heard the news of a sickness. You heard the news of a problem in your family. You heard a friend going through, and something in here was like, ew. Right? Or you heard the news from the boss or from the man, and here it was, ugh. That was Jesus. The number one word that the gospel writers used to describe Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, compassion. That's the number one word. Not love, not power, not authority, not say, compassion. That's where we understand that we are sent. I need to get to the point. Brother, sister, you are sent. You are sent by God to preach, to teach, to heal, to pray. You will never do it if you don't feel it. You will never do it. You will never get touched. You will never touch. You will never impact. You will never preach. You will never do anything if it's not from here, like Jesus had it from here. That's the point. Do you feel it? Is it there? That's what I want to ask you. I'll get to that just in a minute in our closing. But Jesus says, I feel it. I feel it. They're lost. They're hurting. It's right here. I feel it. And so now here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray. There's so much work to be done, but there's so few people. So pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers, workers. Now, some scholars, they say that harvest means evangelizing the lost. Some people say the harvest is the judgment of God at the end of the world, whatever. That's not the point. The point is God says, pray for laborers. I read this scripture back in the springtime during my Bible reading plan. This is the coolest thing. I read it. I said, okay, Lord, you want me to pray? I'll pray. Lord, send them. Send the teachers. Send the missionaries. Send the IT workers. Send the welders. Send the business people. Send them, Lord. Bring us more. Lord, there's Hiroshima. This is the only church with an English-speaking congregation. No. We need more, Lord. We need more churches, more pastors, more missionaries, more. We need them, Lord. And I cried out to God the next day. I opened up my inbox on my email. It was an email to me, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Hiroshi. Said, hey, Pastor Chris, just wanted to say hello. We're missionaries from Brazil. We've been sent by God to Hiroshima. That's not a result of my prayer, okay? But God was telling me, Chris, you need to get on your knees. You need to pray for more because I need to send. Look, if the word for the Greek gods that most people ever used, you had back then the Greek pantheon living up in Olympus or wherever, the word they used to describe them the most was apathethos. Apathesos. Are you catching it? Apathy. Apathy. They don't care. Disinterest. You had Zeus, you had Jupiter, you had Diana, you had Dionysus. The number one thing was not their power, their strength, their party attitude. It was they didn't care about people. They were apathetic. And Jesus said, no. The one word that's going to describe me is not apathetic. It's compassion. And so I care so much, I want to send more. Are you praying? Are you praying? So one thing I needed to repent of, I was reading the newspaper the other day, and man, I'm reading about China, the orphanages there. There's an orphanage where China, they had that one-child policy, you know, and so people, the poor, the rich people could get away with having more kids. The poor, they had kids, they had to just drop them off somewhere. They were finding kids in toilets. They were finding babies in dumpsters with notes. We can't take care of him. Take care of him, please. And most of them were handicapped. They had a defect, you know. And I was so heartbroken, I said, no. I closed the newspaper. And I was like, I can't read this. And God said, do not do that, Chris. Do not be apathetic. Do not turn off the TV. Do not close the newspaper. Don't click on the X. Read it. Let your heart be broken, because my heart is broken. And yet, Chris, you can't do anything. You can't go to China. You can't go to the homeless every day. You can't give everything. You can pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers. Pray, Chris. Come on. I had to repent. I said, yes, Lord. I'm so sorry. I don't care. All I care about is who's going to win the NBA championship. Okay. All I care, am I going to have enough sleep tonight? You know, do I have the clothes I want? Do I save up for another iPad? Stupid things. Comfort. Entertainment. When's my next bonus coming? Stupid things. Jesus said, I came for compassion so you can pray. And then here's the thing. We get into verse 1 of chapter 10. Jesus says, now he looks at his disciples. He told them to pray. He told his disciples, you go pray now. And then he says, okay, disciples, you're the ones, you're the answer to your prayers. You prayed for more harvesters? You prayed for more labor? You're them. Go. He called them apostolos. Stelo, to be sent. Apo, sent out. Apostles, apostles. The 12, plus Paul, who had the authority. And he said he gave them authority. That word, I think it says power in our translation. The word is authority. You could just write it in, and that'd be great. I appreciate that. Just put something in our Bibles. Exousia. This is the word authority. He gave those 12 his authority. Because why? He's the king. If you're going to be sent, if you're going to preach, teach, heal, pray, you need something. You need authority. That's given by Jesus Christ through his Spirit. We're not an apostolic church. We don't go through, we don't believe in, you know, apostles now. That's not our history. But it's not just those 12. The message is for all of us who believe in Jesus, who follow Jesus. We are sent out just like those 12. So he's giving them authority. And now they're preaching and they're teaching. And they're healing. Now, let me close with this. You might be thinking, Chris, that's wonderful, great. I'm a housewife. I'm a teacher. I'm just working on my degree. I'm here on contract. I'm a welder. I'm a factory worker. I'm just a dad. I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm not trained. I've got no skills. Pray. Pray. Okay? And then read that list again. Starting with verse, I think, 3. Went with Peter and James and John and Bartholomew. You know, verse 2. Thank you. Those were not theologians. Those were not professionals. They were fishermen. There was a tax collector, basically a high-class bad guy, one of the Yakuza. There was, the zealot. He was just a religious freak. The terrorist, right. So they were, and here's the problem with these guys. I could go through a whole list. Let me just give you 3 of them. One, they had no spiritual understanding, okay? These guys, Jesus was with them, and he would teach them, and they would say, Jesus, what's the meaning of that parable? And then Jesus would go, what, you don't get it? And again, they would say, Jesus, what did you mean when you said that? And Jesus said, what, you still don't get it? They didn't understand a thing. sleeping, walking, eating with Jesus 24 hours, 7 days, they still didn't get it. That's one problem. Second problem, they all they wanted was power. They weren't humble. They were proud. They would fight. Who's going to sit on your right hand? Who's going to be on your left? James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were so stupid. They got their mom to talk to Jesus and ask Jesus, Jesus, can you make John on your right hand and James on your left hand? Can you make them, you know, your right hand? And Jesus is like, what? Are you serious? Are you serious? This is all throughout. That's the second. The third problem, they were flakes. They were in and out. They weren't 100%. Jesus says, just stay here and pray. Just pray. He goes to pray. He comes back. They're sleeping. Okay, wake up. You know, it's all right. Come on. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. Just pray. Goes out. Pray. He comes back. They're sleeping. The guards come. They're going to arrest Jesus. They're gone. Peter, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. Three times he says that. They're complete flakes. And there's more problems. I just don't have time to get into it. How does Jesus overcome that? Well, what he does is he teaches them over. He just teaches them and teaches them and teaches them. They don't understand a thing. He just keeps on teaching. He doesn't give up. Second thing, they're proud. They're arrogant. All they want is people to look at them. Jesus says, no, no, no. Here, let me take off my clothes. I'll put on the servant's towel. I'll wash your feet. And in the same way that I loved you, you love them. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. That's you. The first will be last. So he modeled humility for them. Their flakiness, their unfaithfulness, he just overcame that with his forgiveness. He just said, look, Peter, come. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Three times. Look, some of you are flakes. I'll say it to your face. Some of you, you have no idea what this Bible's talking about. And you still don't get it. I don't get it. Some of you, all you want is people to look at you and look how spiritual you are. But Jesus called his 12 disciples. He sent them out. He loves you. He loves you. And he will overcome even your lack of spiritual understanding, your pride, your flakiness. He will do it because he loves you. What does he do? He's saying pray. You know why he says pray? Because he prays. The prophet Isaiah, the author of Hebrews, it says he lives to intercess for his people. Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus is right now praying for you? Do you know that? Pastor Hiroshi came up here a few years ago, changed my life. And he wasn't even making this point. He just said, you know what, I'm your pastor, so I pray for you every day. And I said, what? Oh, yeah. And I was a pastor at that time, and I said, well, I don't pray every day. And that changed me, because I said, if I'm going to be a pastor here, I can come up here and preach and preach and preach and preach. But if I'm not praying for you, I don't love you. So, oh, yeah, nice. But look, if I've shaken your hand and if I've asked you your name, if you've met me and face to face, know that I pray for you by name. Just press stop. That's all you got to do is just press pause. I'm so glad that's not my son, Kyohei, because he wouldn't care. But I say this, I'll tell you, I love you. And I have no right to say I love you if I don't pray for you. Okay? And know that I can't pray for you every day. I'm human, okay? But as often as I can, I see your face, I remember your name, and I'm praying for you because I'm your pastor. Not just that, but because Jesus is our Lord. And he prays for me. So I love you and I want you to pray for me too, but look at the world around you. Be hurt. Be heartbroken. And you can't do anything. Your hands are empty. You can pray. And how do you do that? You just come to the cross. You see Jesus stretched out, how much he loved you, how much he gave himself for you, how much his heart was broken for you. That's all you got to do. The next step, he'll show you. He'll open doors. He'll send you to newspaper articles. He'll send missionaries to you asking for money. He'll send pastors to you who need something. He'll send somebody to you, a worker, a student, a classmate, a boss, somebody who needs your help. He'll do it. But you just got to get on your knees before Jesus. Come to him, worship him, love him, serve him. Offer yourself up as a living sacrifice. That's how you'll be sent. I know you think you're here. I'm here because of a job. I'm here because of my contract. This is not the Japanese people. Just bear with me, the Japanese. I'm here because I signed something. I'm here for a couple years. I'm here. I'm an OFW, an overseas foreign worker, and I'm part of the Philippine economy sending them money. I'm here just for whatever. No, you're not. You're sent by Jesus Christ. You're sent. Would you understand that? And understanding that, follow him. Come to the cross. Receive from him his forgiveness, love, power. That's our prayer. That's my prayer for you. Okay, let's meditate for a few minutes. Adam, come on up and get us ready. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we pray. We pray now. You are the Lord of the harvest. Please send more. Send more welders. Send more teachers. Send more IT workers. Send more professors. Send more students. Send more entrepreneurs. Send more pastors. Send more seminary students. Send them, Lord. There's so many in the city depressed, living in darkness, lost, seeking God, looking for answers. Hear our prayer, Lord God. Send them, Lord. And in so doing, Lord, send us, Lord. Light the fire in us. Get the apathy out of our hearts, Lord God. And move us, compel us. Take our feet and pick us up and let us go in the direction you would have for us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And Lord, we pray for the humility. We pray for the patience. Lord, we don't know the language so well. We're lost in this culture. Lord, help us, guide us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us to go to our spouses, to our children, to our co-workers, to our neighbors, whoever, Lord. Help us, God. We cry out to you and we love you. We believe in you, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.